This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Nope, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Of course I can do it. Ray, play my music. Wakey, eggs and bakey, good the Thursday morning. This is DCR, Rick DiPietro, Chris Canty, and Dave Rothenberg coming to you live on 98.7 ESPN New York. David, Christopher, we're only hours away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. Knicks. Awful loss, David. Awful loss. Blow an 18-point lead. Nets come back from an 18-point deficit. But none of that's going to bother me today because, Dave, we did it. Uncle Steve did it. The Mets have their shortstop, Francisco Lindor, locked up 10 years, $341 million. Dave, that's got to make you feel good, David.
Wow. That was some open. Outside of the DPR, that was... really quite the open. I give you tremendous props. My question, Chris, is what time do you think he started this thing? How much effort in the, 92nd open that he just provided for us, how much effort, time, energy do you think was put into it?
A whole lot, Dave. There's no doubt in my mind he started working on this thing at 2 o'clock in the morning. But I'm impressed, though, man. Even down to the song selection, I'm impressed.
Look at him; he's got scratch paper. He's got things crossed off. Oh yeah. My God! You are the treat that keeps on giving. So, it was really well done. DPR with you here on 98.7.
Come on, Dave, give him a break.
I can't
man.
Help
Stall
it,
him out.
I can't help. Stall it. You're right.
Out.
Listen, he did well.
He did really well.
He did beautifully, but you know that that's going to haunt them. Now, did you hear on the pre-show meeting what time he said he got going with this morning?
No, I didn't. What time did he wake up this morning? Because he was thinking about it from the moment that he woke up. I have no doubt.
From his nap. He woke up at 1:30 this morning to write this.
That's ridiculous.
Early risers will get work.
Well, yes. There you go. There you go, according to Rothenberg. But Rico, I don't think that's healthy for you, bro. 1:30
no,
in the morning?
What time
did you go to bed?
No, this is your fault. Group text. Hey, I got a great idea. Let's make Major League Baseball picks today.
Oh,
let's go Rookie of the Year. Let's go Cy Young. Let's go Division Winners, Wild Cards, World Series
crazy
predictions.
Wild things, yes. Why on the opening day of Major League Baseball would we dissect it and make some predictions? And the fact that it makes you wake up hours earlier than you normally would have, I'm telling you, man, you got to get into therapy. You need someone to lie on the couch and explain to you how things properly work in the society.
What do you want me to tell you? I'm broken. We all get it. We understand it. I said I have my sister-in-law work on me. You said no. You can't do it with the family.
You can't do it with family.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
This is what happens when you grow up with a dad that when you let in a bad goal, he puts his fingers over his nose like you stink.
So this is all, you're placing all the blame on your balding father. All the blame.
Oh, he's already bald. Yeah, but I would guarantee I sit down in therapy, and this would be months and months into therapy before they finally break the code here. They would go back to that very moment as the impetus for this, whatever you want to call what I am right now.
Broken?
Broken, I mean, neurotic, you name it.
I think those are two pretty good words.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot going on. I mean, David, between these picks, I'm making Easter cakes last night with the cake boss buddy on the computer. So we made some bunny cakes. We did that. I'm draining the pool. I got to take the garbage out today at some point, too. Remind me to do that.
Yes. Later on in the show, we'll definitely have you do the garbage. All right. So let's get into it. Thank God Lindor signed last night. Thank God, because it means that we do not have to talk about the Knicks right off the top of the show.
Ugh.
Of all the games that they've had this year, that upsets me the most. We will get into it. We'll get into what the T-Wolves had to say about R.J. Barrett taking that last shot in a little bit. But here, Chris, you had left the show yesterday, and here we made our predictions for Francisco Lindor. You want to watch Mr. Neurotic get more neurotic?
Don't even.
Yes.
Let's, all right, here we go. Let's play it. I'm going to go 10-3-35.
I wanted to go 10-2, but
you
he wants the
10.
12. I would say either 10-3-40, or I would say, no, I'll be different. I'll go 12-360.
Right there. You were right there.
Now, this is what happens to me. This is exactly what happens to me, because you went, I had you go first, which was the mistake, because you went 10 and you went 335, and my 10-340 was so close to yours. I was like, I can't. I mean, I got to be somewhat different. Like, I'll go more towards what he wants in the 12 years. So, but this is what I deal with on a regular basis. You wonder why it took me so long to do that stupid bracket challenge. This is why I got bracket after bracket. Because
really
my initial thought is usually pretty good, and then all of a sudden I overanalyze it to death.
Yeah, but don't you see it? Just whatever your initial thought is, your first idea that pops into your head, go with that. Don't start messing around with it.
You know what my thought was, honestly, when we were doing those predictions, and when I was thinking about it during the show, was that he's at a point now where when you look at contracts that have already been signed, and it's just, I mean, he's doing it because he's supposed to do it. Like, his agent is smart. Like, 12 years, the 385. That's off of what Mookie Betts signed for. Like, that's what you have to do. And then the Mets come in at, which I give him credit for, because I would have rather the 10. I'm glad they went 10 instead of the 12. They went the 10, the 325. I guarantee Francisco Lindor's first thought to his agent was, there is no way, with how good I've been and how long I've been in this league, that I'm going to sign for a penny less than Tatis Jr. signed for.
Oh, yeah. That was a principal thing. No question about it. Like, that was all on principle, and it's amazing to me the vanity of professional athletes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not pointing the finger, because I was the same way when I was a free agent. Like there comes a point where it's like, okay, professional pride and wanting to make a statement and wanting your respect, not only from the club that you're going to play for, but also from around the league. Like, I think that was what was important to him, and that was what was going to hold up the deal. And the fact that they were able to kind of meet him in that spot, even though they're giving him $50 million in deferred money, I feel like that was the right thing for Steve Cohen to do. Like, it was like, okay, you want to get this number, you have this as a goal, we're willing to do it, but it's going to have to change the structure of the contract a little bit with throwing some deferred money in there rather than just being straight up. I just feel like both sides gave enough to be able to get it done, and it was the right thing to do to prevent a cloud from being over this team for the entire season.
Yeah, and they had to get it done, and I'm pleased that they got it done, and I expected them to. I mean, never once did I think that this thing wouldn't get done. You don't trade for a guy like that to not get it done. He gave this imposed, you know, he wants it done by opening day. They were so close with 10 years and 325. They get it done. It's over. We don't have to deal with this anymore. I guess there's a no trade for 15 teams in this thing and $50 million deferred, but I'm thrilled. And I know that the next topic up is going to be, well, they're nowhere near with Conforto. I don't worry about that. If Steve Cohen wants to get stuff done in the future, he's going to get stuff done in the future.
No, but we even said that yesterday when we were talking about this deal, because I think we all felt like it was going to get done. Because, I mean, once they offer the 10 years, 325, I couldn't even imagine if Francisco Lindor turns down that 325, the amount of pressure he would be under this season. Like, it wouldn't have been good for anybody. It would have been worse for Francisco Lindor.
What happens if he got hurt?
Well, not even that he got hurt. I mean, could you imagine the, like turning down that much money? Like, how the fan base would feel about that?
They'd be livid.
Like, you don't
completely
want to take
different
money?
Reception. Completely different
completely
reception.
Completely different
from
reception.
From what it should be. Because, I mean, that was Steve Cohen's signature move. He took over the team, and he made a big move, and he went after a guy that was only available because he played for a small market team that couldn't afford him. So it felt like, okay, things are changing for the Mets now. We can actually go after guys, and we can get these guys and keep them as Mets. And if they didn't find a way to be able to get that done, then the fans would have been looking at Francisco Lindor sideways, but also looking at the Mets organization, Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen, because Mets fans were promised that this was going to be a new day. Business was going to be different than what the Wilpons had done in the past. And if you didn't sign your major offseason acquisition and you allowed him to walk into free agency, fans would have been pissed.
Yeah, we said yesterday too that they would have the compromise would be there would be some, you know, little things that they would do to get to the point in the middle, the sweet spot in the middle, which ends up being the 341.
Yep.
There would be if it was, I mean, actually, I think we even said it yesterday, would be maybe deferred money, because we went back to Mookie Betts, how much deferred money he had in his deal. In the initial deal, the $325, there was no deferred money.
Correct. He was getting it all yearly.
So they must have said to him, hey, listen, I get where you're coming from. We ain't giving you, we don't want to go 12 years and we ain't going $385. If you want to make more money than Fernando Tatis, which we get, we understand that. It's a pride thing. It makes sense. We'll give you the $341, but you're gonna have to give a little bit too. You're gonna have to defer $50 million.
Yeah, but the $325 is gonna end up being more money than taking the $50 million deferred with $341.
Yeah, but who cares? I mean, you know.
What do you mean? Who cares? Who cares? Ain't this thing about money? When you're doing a contract negotiation, ain't it about money?
$325 million.
Let me ask you a question, though, Chris.
That's about money, man.
Here's the interesting thing, though. I would wonder how this works. So he gets the $50 million deferred, right?
Yeah.
Now, how would it work? Depending on where he lives, like say he gets, like he's living in Florida with that deferred, and that deferred money's coming to him while he lives in Florida. Does that eliminate the state tax for him?
I thought baseball players could do that. I thought they could claim their off-season residence. So when they did their deals like that, a portion of the guaranteed, well, it's all guaranteed, but a portion of the money that's paid out could be, you know, tax-free if they live in a tax-free state. I thought baseball players had a way of being able to work that.
That's not that stupid. I mean, that could be. I mean, you don't have to pay New York State tax on that $50 million would be nice.
If you could avoid that, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
It's a lot of money. $325, $341, whatever the case may be, it's a lot of money. All right, let's. You look like you had something really important.
Well, no, I mean, both sides got what they wanted. The Mets got the 10 years that they wanted, and Francisco Lindor ends up. I mean, he's not. I mean, let's face it. He's not Mike Trout, and he's not at the level yet of Mookie Betts. So he gets a deal that's just above $1 million more than Fernando Tatis.
Yep.
For less years. His average annual's, you know, $34 million.
Oof.
And it's the third most
yep
money in a deal in Major League Baseball.
And you have a guy now with the Mets that pays very close attention. So I think it's a win for everybody here. Right? Isn't that what Alonzo told us yesterday?
He's a tremendous, as yes. far as attention is concerned. Tremendous with that.
Tremendous with the attention to detail. All right, so let's take a call. I mean, people want to congratulate you on that DPR Open. Let's hear from Lonnie in Harlem.
Lonnie, that guy. I paid you and everything.
You did. I was going to get there in a few minutes. There's a lot to unravel today. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Rico, you did it, baby. Oh my God, Uncle Rico. You don't understand. I was at work jumping for joy. But when you said I can't do it, I almost broke my phone. But, man, I'm so happy you did that, Rico. It was amazing. And Dave, stop getting on him about the DPR. He was going to say deep in April, as you can clearly hear him about to say it. But he caught himself, and he came out, he said the DPR. Rico, I mean, you don't understand. You made my day this morning just now when you did that. And when I woke up this morning and I saw Twitter and I seen Lindor sign for the $341, I said, you know what, $16 million more is not too bad. Hopefully the Mets can actually have a good season this year for you and Dave. But Rico, every Thursday I want that, please. I will come to the house Monday through Wednesday. I will stay in the basement. I will help you. But that was beautiful, Rico. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
No problem. This is why I love you. I got your custom ball gag coming to the house.
Wow.
We'll move you down the basement. He's actually right. Like, he heard exactly what happened. Why I said DPR is because in my little chicken scratch notes, I was coming in with this is DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Yeah.
But I said, you know what? I'm going to go. I would on the fly. I was like, no, I'm going to go DCR and then say our full names. So I got stuck between DCR and DPH. DPR.
I know exactly what happened, but it doesn't mean we're not going to have fun with you at that expense. That was wonderful. You did a good job. You should be proud of that. It's actually
better when you screw up a little bit, I think. In the grand scheme of things, it's probably better if you screw up.
No, I think
you're just telling yourself that now. You don't actually believe that, Rico. As neurotic as you are,
you're just trying
to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, I don't want to throw the perfect game. Let me throw one little monkey wrench into the mix here. No, you didn't believe that at all. You stressed out about the baseball picks at 5:30?
Yeah, I don't even know why we're doing them at 5:30 now.
We got time to let it breathe, don't we?
We want to push it into the 6 o'clock hours.
You're right. Let's do it at 5:30. Let's just get these things out of the way. Let's do it right at 5:30.
Uh-oh.
And then we can revisit it.
No, I don't even think we should revisit. No, I think we should just. I wouldn't even roll on it. I say we just make the picks. We have RJ and Santi.
You know,
roll on it.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do some at 5:30 and some at 6:30. So we can really stress him out, Chris, today. So we can, on April Fool's Day, opening day of Major League Baseball, really, really stress him out.
All right.
You're trying to give me a
nervous
breakdown.
He's not stressed out enough with his picks, Dave. All right, we can do it.
But why? Why are you so stressed out?
Because I hate being wrong. I hate it. I despise it.
Dave, you know he's going to blow a gasket, right?
And I knew you were going to play that clip this morning when I actually said I want to go 10 for 340.
Yeah.
And when I saw what he signed for, when I woke up at 1:30 this morning and I read it on my phone, I was like, you son of a... And I know they're going to play the clip, and it's just the... That clip is... Like, if you were to describe me in a nutshell with how neurotic I get with this stuff, that right there was it.
It's wonderful. Should we make it an April Fool's joke that we're not really doing predictions?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, well, that's not the case.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
People are all excited about that, and it's April Fool's Day, which people, for some reason, enjoy. And, guys, opening of Major League Baseball, which is absolutely thrilling. Mets, both teams on ESPN today. Yankees, 1 o'clock, and then the Mets at 7 o'clock. Now, do we know, we'll get to the Knicks in a moment, which was a disaster last night. Mm. Do we know the Nationals players that have tested positive? I haven't seen that.
No, they
haven't
said
it either. Yep.
Yeah, they haven't said that, huh?
No, I would imagine you're just going to find out tonight. I mean, it was five total, right? It was one staff and four players.
Right.
Didn't we have the same situation with opening day for the Nationals last year with Soto having to sit out?
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah.
We sure did.
I don't think he sat out. He played, I think.
Oh, he played and he was positive, right?
It was inconclusive.
It was inconclusive.
And then they took him out of the lineup after that?
I'm pretty sure they actually let him. Like, there was some question going in whether or not he had tested, like, if it was an inconclusive test or whatever. And I think he actually ended up playing in that game, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wish I hadn't played the Knicks game last night. I'm livid about this game. How do you do that? How do you blow an 18-point lead against this team? That's a horrendous loss.
18-point lead. I mean, you had an 18-point lead in the second quarter. You had You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. I mean, when the Timberwolves took their first lead and ended up, I mean, that's the final. I mean, that was the lead that ends up winning them the game.
Oh,
that
sure
was their first lead since they led 7-6.
Terrible.
I mean, but there was and honest to God, there was, at any point during that game, did you feel like the Knicks were going to lose that game?
Never. Never once.
Never once did I feel like they were going to lose that game.
I mean, they were desperate for the Knicks to win that game. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns getting the ball with 5 seconds left. He's like, you take it. I don't want it. I mean, that was, they were awful. They did everything in their power. The Knicks, Chris, offensively down the stretch last night were hideous, is what they were.
No, they were bad. And on top of it, they compounded the issues with the turnovers, Dave. I mean, they had 5 turnovers in the fourth quarter that resulted in 9 points for the Timberwolves. Like, they gifted the Timberwolves the opportunity to get back in it. On a night where the Timberwolves in their half-court sets offensively couldn't get much going, they relied on turnovers and getting out in transition, fast break, to be able to make up the deficit. And then once Anthony Edwards got going in the fourth quarter, I mean, it was hard to shut off the faucet. And it's no wonder why he was able to create that play for Malik Beasley to hit that that three-pointer to take the lead late in that game. So, I mean, I just felt like the Knicks opened the door for the Timberwolves. And that's atypical of this Knicks team, because when they're playing against inferior competition, – they usually kill an ant with a sledgehammer, and I'm surprised to see that kind of effort on the road in Minnesota yesterday.
Watching that, I can't even say offense, but I guess I will, that half-court offense down the stretch of the game, where it was Randall, isolation, and he would wind up just taking really, really difficult shots time after time after time.
Yeah.
I was getting very upset. I'm telling you, I'm sincere. I'm very upset with that from last night.
But
really,
you know what, Dave? I actually thought that Julius Randle was going to knock down that free throw line jumper that he had with about 10 seconds left. I thought that was going to be the game-winning shot. And for him to come up short and then to have another opportunity and R.J. Barrett to miss that last second shot, like, I was just like, I was in disbelief. Like, I just couldn't believe that the Knicks would lose to one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah, they're horrendous. Now, I don't know if you guys heard this from Fox Sports North, Anthony Edwards, on what they wanted the Knicks to do on that final possession, but this is not exactly what you want to hear. Here's what Edwards said.
We told Jaden, try not to let Randall catch the ball. We're going to make somebody else beat us. You know, gladly, R.J. Barrett caught it, and, you know, if he would have made the shot, we would live with it. I mean, because that's who we wanted taking a shot. We didn't want anybody else taking it.
Great. So they wanted Gladly. RJ Barrett taking the shot.
Yeah, but no, I think what he meant was, I mean, anyone outside of Julius Randle taking the shot they could live with.
Yeah, he seemed pretty pleased that it was RJ Barrett, though.
Yeah, but who else is going to take the shot? I mean, there was no one. I mean, he would be outside of Julius Randle. I mean, you're drawing up plays for the Knicks at that point in the game.
Yeah, I get it. But all he had to say was we didn't want Randle to touch the basket.
Yeah, he put a little more on that.
He made a
Rico.
Point of saying, you know what? If RJ Barrett touches it, that's fine. If he makes it, that's fine. We don't think he's going to make it. They didn't believe that he could make it, and they were right. It was a terrible shot.
Yeah, it was not a great shot. It was not a great look for him.
Well, he was trying to shoot over Karl Anthony Towns, so that's not exactly an easy feat.
No, but again, it points to the fact that, I mean, this is something that the Knicks are going to struggle with, is close games like this, and the game shouldn't have been close. We all realize that. But close games, especially when Quickly doesn't have it going. You have no Derrick Rose. I mean, the point guard position is a problem for them.
That's a major problem.
They just need somebody in the backcourt that can create, Rico. Like that,
that's it.
That's the thing that they're missing, like shot creation from somebody in your backcourt. Because you got that with Julius Randle in the frontcourt, but there's only so much he can do. The guy's a forward. Like, you need somebody that can do what Anthony Edwards did down the stretch. You don't have that player right now, and you're hoping that RJ Barrett continues to grow into that role and fill those shoes. But I feel like this Knicks team would be well served if they were able to bring in somebody this offseason that can already do that at a high level. Like, I feel like that's the missing piece. If they bring in somebody in the backcourt that can create shots for themselves and for others, I think that's a game changer in terms of this program taking a huge step forward.
I don't know if you guys feel like this. I cannot watch Elfrid Payton anymore. I've had my fill. I can't watch him play anymore.
Dave, how do you turn your back to the defense only to let Anthony Edwards pick your pocket and go down for an easy deuce? Like, how do you do that? You're the point guard.
He drives me just crazy.
I understand wanting to pull the ball out and reset in your half-court offense. But, like, you don't want to know where the defense is before you turn your back to him? I don't know.
He's infuriating. That's an awful loss. I mean, that...
Well, he didn't even play terrible. I mean, he actually played pretty good yesterday. I mean, he wasn't brutal. I mean, there's too many turnovers,
Not in the
too.
Fourth quarter.
No,
not
of course not. I mean, at winning
he was
time...
terrible.
Yeah, again, but, hey, I mean, you know, I mean, if Quickly has it going, or Derrick Rose is healthy enough to play, Elfrid Payton isn't closing games. He's not.
No.
It's going to be one of those guys.
Bad.
Too many turnovers.
Bad.
And that one, I mean, the Alec Burks turnover, I mean, he's, and then RJ Barrett, I mean, if you're gonna foul Anthony Edwards, foul Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, don't let him get the shot up.
Ends up being a 3-point play. I mean, it's
terrible.
Just
terrible. That's awful. Now RJ Barrett on Twitter, he posted the did he post it or it was posted? It was posted by NBA Central, the video of Anthony Edwards, and RJ Barrett responded with a crying laughing emoji. Just 1 hour ago. So he sees what people are saying about him right now. And I don't know. Just I'm sick with that loss last night.
It was a terrible loss. Terrible loss. I mean, he had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter against a team that's not good.
You could argue the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, man, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA.
That's one of the worst five teams in the NBA, no doubt. You had that game, it was wrapped up, and you let it get away. Let's go to Dino in the Bronx. Dino, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Given the like, you've seen all the heartbreaking losses that we had, like all the close games and everything. Do you guys now feel that we should have made a trade? We should have done something to help us out, because like it sucks, bro. Sucks losing these close games over like one or two, maybe not one or two plays, but just losing these close games.
I think they tried to make a deal. I mean, they went into the deadline, you know, actively trying to make a deal. But, I mean, the guy that we wanted was Lonzo Ball, and apparently what the Pelicans were asking for was way too much for him.
Yeah, and I'm not horrified by this. I mean, the fact that they didn't make a deal, I think that they stood to what their goals are, and they were cautious about it, and they didn't want to mortgage the future for the current moment. And again, I don't mind losing these games. I don't mind losing to Philadelphia and Brooklyn and Milwaukee's, but it's losses like last night. You shouldn't need to have acquired someone at the deadline to win that game. And you didn't. You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. You had an 18-point lead in the second quarter. And you had a million chances to close that game out. And you didn't do it. So I don't blame, you know, Leon Rose for that or anybody else. The Knicks blew it themselves last night.
No, they did blow it themselves, Dave. But I think to that caller's point and what Rick is saying is that when you have a guy like that, like Alonzo Ball, when you have chaos going on in the fourth quarter, he's somebody that can give your offense some more structure. He's somebody that can prevent some of those turnovers, so maybe you don't open the door for the Timberwolves to be able to get back in that game. Because the Timberwolves were struggling a little bit there in the first half offensively, trying to get it going.
They were. They stink.
They're not a very good team, Dave. I mean, they got the fewest wins in the NBA, so they got the record to support everything that you're saying about them. But the fact is that even with bad teams, it's still NBA players. And when you have those kind of turnovers, when you play sloppy basketball, things like that happen. You have a team that has no business being on the same court as you being able to pull off an upset.
Yeah, really, really unfortunate circumstance last night.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to make them now, the American League in the 5:30, the National League in the 6:30 segment, and then we're going to revisit the first of every month and see how they're looking, just to really stress you out, DiPietro.
I don't know what you're trying to prove here.
It's already hard
enough that we do a show at 5 a.m. Now you want to just pile on more stress for me?
Well, why would it be stressful? Maybe you'll have great predictions, and every first of the month you'll look forward to it.
We both know that's not true.
What? Come on.
We know
this
there's nothing
right,
about these
right
picks.
Right in your wheelhouse. Right
we know
in
there's
your
nothing
wheelhouse.
About these picks I'm looking forward to. Zero.
In fact, you'd be happy if we did not do it, right?
I'd be thrilled.
Yeah. The text went out yesterday, this is what we're doing, and your response, not me, I'm out.
Well, I already had the open to worry about. Now you're just piling on.
Well, I think if you have multiple things that are stressful, maybe it's not as stressful. You can't focus on any one thing as much.
You really think that's the case?
Not with you, no.
Not
all right.
Exactly.
RJ, why don't you take the reins, be the host of this baseball bonanza here on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it is a baseball bonanza, and we're going to do the American League. So we're going to run through. We're going to pick the division winners.
Yep.
A couple of wild cards. Who you think will be in the ALCS. We're going to hold off on who you think advances out of the American League. And then we're going to do the AL MVP, the Cy Young, and your Rookie of the Year projections. So away we go. Let's start with
AL East.
And Dave, we'll start with you for this one.
Well, this is a layup. The Yankees are winning this division. They'll probably win it by 8-plus games. Their magic number is 11 heading into the day. And I have no doubt that the Yankees win the American League East. Done. Easy. Easy peasy.
All of a sudden, Dave's Pakoda. I've got these guys winning the division by 8. I can't disagree. I got the Yankees winning the division, too.
Yeah, it's unanimous.
All right, Yankees across the board. That was an easy one. This one, maybe a little more conjecture.
AL Central.
Chris, we'll start with you here.
I'm going to roll with the Minnesota Twins, and I know there's a lot of optimism around the White Sox. I would have rolled with them had Jimenez not gotten injured before the start of the year, even though I think at some point he'll be back. I still think the Twins, they're just a team that can hit for power. You got Sano, you got Donaldson, you got Cruz. They'll bash their way to the division title.
Come on, David, you're up.
I didn't realize that I was up. I thought RJ would direct it who he wanted to go next. I'm a little disappointed here because I thought both of you guys would go White Sox. I'd go Twins and I'd look like the hero. But I'm going to go with the Twins as well. Until there's a changing of the guard, I don't believe it. Minnesota is the best team in that division every single year, and I see this year as no different. I agree with Chris. I will take the Twins.
All right, so I'll be the odd man out. I'm going to take the White Sox to win the division.
Oh, this is great.
Nice.
Right, this is great. I can't wait for the 18 games between the Twins and the White Sox now. We can break them down into a fine powder as we preview the American League Central when we get going.
I will say the one thing that concerns me about the White Sox, one of their relief pitchers, last name, which is tough, Aaron Bummer.
Yeah, Bummer. He's good, though.
Well, I know he's good, but that's a rough last name to have.
That is a rough one.
You figure the parent would have changed that, right?
Well, I can't wait for that. There's going to be a Thursday in July where either one of you or two of you come in just a bad mood because the Twins or the White Sox lost in 19.
That's right.
And it just got over 2 hours ago, and Rick, you know, didn't sleep, stayed up for the whole thing.
He'll be cursing Jose Berrios at some point during the game.
All right, let's go West.
AL West.
Rick, you can start us here.
I'm going to start off. I got the Houston Astros winning the West.
All right, David.
I'm going to go with your A's from Oakland.
And Chris.
I am going with the Houston Astros as well.
Nice.
All right, interesting.
Correa's going to have a big year. Correa turned down the 120, which is smart. I mean, that's to see what Lindor got. Correa, Bregman, they got Brantley back, which was huge for them. Lance McCullers has got filthy stuff, too, by the way.
Great stuff. He's amazing. Well, he just signed a big extension, too. Yeah. I like the Astros. I just think that this is the A's division to win.
I hope you're wrong.
I know you do.
Also, not casting any aspersions, but important to know the video rooms are back this year.
That'll certainly help Houston.
So the players, yeah, it was a big point of contention
that'll
last year.
That'll
certainly
help Houston.
No video room. So we go to
wild card teams.
Wild card team. Don't laugh at the voice guy.
Wild card teams.
Dave, wild card team number one.
Wild card team number one. I don't have them winning the division, but I will go with the team aforementioned, the Houston Astros. I think they're very talented, and I think they'll make moves at the deadline, put them in the postseason for me, Houston Astros.
Houston. Rick?
I'm going to go with the Minnesota Twins as a wild card team.
All right. And Chris?
The Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh!
And a little bit of a surprise. Listen, it's a really young team. I think they're up and coming with Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette and all of Craig Biggio. I think those guys, I think that's a really good young team.
Cool.
Chris, I think that's a really good young team.
We can go snake draft. You can loop us back around. Wild card team number two.
I'm going to go White Sox as my wild card team number two. I think they'll get healthier at the end of the season. That team will be rounded into form. The front line pitching is there. We know that. So I like the White Sox as a wild card team.
All right, Rick.
I was told that I will be sleeping on the couch if I don't pick this team. Mm-hmm. I'm contractually obligated. I'm going to have to take the Tampa Bay Rays to be a wild card team.
All right, and Dave, I'll play this just for you.
Wild card teams.
Oh, I greatly appreciate that. I'm thinking Rays. I'm thinking Blue Jays. I don't think either of those teams get in. I will go with the White Sox from Chicago as my second wild card team in the American League.
All right, so quick recap. Dave has the Yankees, Twins, and A's as division winners, Astros and White Sox. Rick, Yankees, White Sox, and Astros as division winners, Twins and Rays. Chris has the Yankees, Twins, and Astros, followed by the Jays, the only one to take the Blue Jays, and the White Sox as the wild card team. So let's go to
the ALCS.
Not who you think will win it, but who is in it, the two teams that are in it. Rick, we'll start with you.
Why would you start with me in such a big decision?
Well,
you're going to start with
me. Because you have it written down. Just read it off the sheet.
Because
we know
I'm trying
it's scripted.
To help you. What we've established is when we get you off the script is when you struggle. You have it scripted. Just go with it.
Whatever you have written down, just read that.
Just
all right,
me.
ALCS, I got the Yankees going up against the Chicago White Sox.
There you go. See, was that so hard?
A little bit.
I'm sure it was. Chris?
Same. I got the Yankees and the White Sox.
Yankees and White Sox. Dave?
Unfortunately, both these guys, very bright. I believe in both of them, but they'll be wrong. It's going to be the Yankees and your Oakland Athletics in the American League Championship Series this year.
All right.
Dave's a big Billy Bean guy.
Very talented GM, yes.
AL MVP.
All right, Dave?
I can try to get fancy, try to get cute. I'll go with Mike Trout. He's the best player in baseball for a reason. He missed time last year and still hit 17 home runs. He's sensational. Give me Mike Trout.
Chris?
Yeah, Mike Trout. I mean, he's the best player in baseball.
Bang. And Rick?
I want to disagree. I do. I don't know how it's... I mean, Mike Trout stays healthy.
Go ahead.
I want to be right. I don't know how I would disagree. I mean, the fact that this guy can't get into... Like, none of us picked the Angels to be in the postseason is a shame for Major League Baseball. But, I mean... Every category that matters, especially war, I mean, you got to go Mike Trout.
He's the best.
All right, we're heading for home, but...
AL Cy Young.
Chris, AL Cy Young.
Yep, Homer, here it comes.
Well, listen, I like to be right, and if my prediction about the ALCS is going to be right, if it's coming down to the Yankees and White Sox, that means Lucas Giolito is pitching out of his mind. So I am going with Lucas Giolito over Gerrit Cole for the AL Cy Young.
That's a bad guy.
No homer there, Rick.
Shocking.
What's funny is those are the two I was going back and forth with, was Giolito and Gerrit Cole. But I got to go Gerrit Cole. I'm going to go Gerrit Cole to win the Cy Young.
And Dave.
I want to be different.
Rick was different.
Rick
but he didn't need
different.
To be. He was $1 million off of predicting the Lindor contract.
Yeah, he was right there. Rick played the game. Where do I go? I'm not going Giolito. I'm down between Bieber.
You're not going Bieber. Bieber's not going to win it back-to-back.
Don't tell me who I'm not doing. Don't challenge me to take Bieber.
Go with Lance Lynn. You guys have shared the same kind of body.
Lance Lynn's a terrific pitcher.
No, I know he is. That's why I said it. Go Dallas Keuchel. I actually had a RJ knows the story. I had a Dallas Keuchel, too. Terrific.
Wow. With the socks on.
Skilled.
All right, I'll do it. And you know, I hope I'm wrong here, but I'll do it. I'll take Gerrit Cole in the American League.
Now, did you go off script there? I'm curious.
I don't have a script.
He doesn't have a script. This guy just has a seat of his pants. That's why the whole stupid AFC is loaded. He had no idea. He just said it.
Well, I have opinions. I don't need to write them down to know what I think.
No flow chart present.
Zero.
AL Rookie of the Year.
Last one for the American League Rookie of the Year. Dave starts off.
All right. I was thinking about a Rosarena, but I said no. I can't take Kalenic because I just can't do it. I won't do it. So I'm going to go with from the Baltimore Orioles, Ryan Mountcastle will be my American League Rookie of the Year.
It's a great porn name, too.
Yeah, it sounds like a made-up person.
That's an unbelievable
porn name. I
know
who he is, but it sounds like a made-up person.
Okay, it could be a sex position, too, the Mountcastle.
for those in England, right?
Yes, exactly right.
Oh, Rick, who you got?
I'm going to go with one Randy Rosarena.
And Chris?
I was going to go with a Rosarena, so in the interest of being different and just to troll Rick and Dave, I'm going to go Jared Kalenic.
Ugh. I hope it's
I would rather a Kalenic than Kalenic wins the rookie of the year.
If I told you you had to have a Kalenic and be awake for the Kalenic, or Kalenic can win the AL MVP, which would you take?
The Kalenic.
I don't know that that's true.
Why is that not true?
Have you ever had a Kalenic?
No.
So, yeah, then I don't think that's something that you could endure.
How do you know that?
I don't. I just don't think
it
is.
I have a real high pain threshold.
Mm. But there?
I don't know. How would I know that?
Exactly. And that's
I don't have. I'm not a. I mean, I wouldn't have no idea whether or not that has a high pain threshold. I did pass a sideways almond once. I accidentally swallowed a whole almond and it came out sideways.
Oh, my God.
That was not great. I almost tapped out. I could almost not pass the
I honestly almond. Thought you were going to say, like, I once passed a kidney stone.
No.
I once passed some kind of a stone, but no, a sideways almond.
It was a sideways almond. Yeah, it was torture.
I bet it was.
Yeah, that don't feel good coming out. I can promise you that.
I bet it doesn't. All right, the Michael Kay Show. Drop Madness continues today. Have your dials tuned to 98.7 ESPN at 2 o'clock and be ready to cast your votes for each matchup at TMKS ESPN. On Twitter, Drop Madness, presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. My understanding, by the way, guys, is that Wendy's will be making a drop to each of our locations during the show, and we will partake in Wendy's later on during the 7 o'clock hour.
That was delicious. As long as they bring those, I mean, as long as they bring the Frosticino again.
Oh. You are a big Frosticino guy.
Oh, it's like, delicious. That is
like a, it's like a coffee milkshake. It's delicious.
No, listen, it's phenomenal. No question about it. But, I mean, of all the things that they dropped off, that's what you're looking forward to. I mean, that hot honey biscuit, that does it for me.
Oh, it's all
sensational.
That
hot honey biscuit is special.
It's all sensational. Making you hungry.
Yeah,
at
we can tell. We can tell, David.
What?
We can tell that you like you some. Some chicken and biscuits and everything
else. And that's a bad thing?
Well, no, it's not a bad thing if you get on the treadmill once in a while.
I was fat at one point. I was on the treadmill last week.
What do you mean last week? It's
last
Thursday.
Last week I went on. Yeah, and I haven't gone on this week yet.
What are you waiting for?
I'm slowly building up.
He's on spring break from his treadmill.
Why can't you just
walk
on
the kids are around all week. They're not in school. I'm spending a lot of time with them, and I haven't had time to get on the treadmill yet.
Well, but you're trying to stay healthy. You're not supposed to have bye weeks.
You know, I'm not saying it's the right strategy. I'm being honest with you guys.
I'm not saying it's
I'm not defending my decision to have not gotten on, especially when my wife is on every single day. She did a 5K yesterday. And
this is why we keep saying how lucky you are. Like, you've let yourself go. Like, poor Sherry with the, I mean, between the skin tags and everything else, has to sleep next to you every night. And meanwhile, she's, working out every single day.
Every single day.
Going for runs with Rick Pitino in the park.
Well, that hasn't happened in years. But
keeping herself nice and tight.
Every day she's on that treadmill.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, I think for her as well.
Well, yeah, for her as well. But it's nice. I mean, that's also a nice perk for you.
It's a wonderful perk. But I don't have any issue. I think she looks great regardless.
Yeah, but don't you think you should reciprocate it, though?
Yes.
Like, wouldn't it be great if you had, if you were nice and tight?
You're attacking me for something I agree with you about. I should get on the treadmill. It's embarrassing I haven't, but I'm full disclosure here on the show. I'm always honest with you guys. I have not this week, And I'm hoping to remedy that today. A little baseball with the treadmill would be great. Garrett,
I'm just trying to push you, because it seems like the more Chris and I push you, the more likely that you are actually to do it.
Push me. By the way, we pushed him, and he paid off his debt. Chris,
how about that? Full. Rico finally got the Venmo or PayPal? Rico?
Yeah, what'd you guys use?
PayPal.
PayPal. Yeah. Finally got involved.
I don't trust the Venmo.
Finally did it the right way.
Yeah, I don't trust the Venmo. I was going to write a nasty message too, because in PayPal you can like attach a message to it. I was going to write a nasty message, but I couldn't because it's Sherry's PayPal.
But why would you do that anyway? What would be the impetus to write a nasty message?
Well, because it would be nice that since I'm winning the pool, that I get my money back.
I'm not exaggerating, Chris. He's in 73rd place.
Oh, I know. I get the emails, Dave. So I check them.
What are you talking about? You're winning the pool.
I went into the pool realizing that I'm probably not going to win the pool, but as long as I beat everyone on the show, I would be happy. That's a win for me.
Yes. So you will do that. I believe that's already cinched away now. You will beat everyone. By the way, last place on our show, RJ Santillo. Horrendous selections.
the best was the commentary on Canty's. Can he? No, he can't.
Oh my gosh.
It brought me back to Monday at 6:45. You guys are funny. All right, so congratulations on beating. I mean, we're horrendous. Selections in the pool could not have been worse.
Yeah, but we didn't go in thinking that you were going to be horrendous. I mean, we went in thinking that you were the one to beat.
Yeah, no, that's not the case this year. It was really bad. Really, really bad. All right, let's get back to Francisco Lindor. I'm thrilled about this. He's the face of the franchise. You move forward. You don't have to stress it. No sweat. And we've said it a million times, and I go back to it now. The Mets fan, starting today, will fall in love with this guy. He's going to be the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's everything that you want. I mean, on the field, as far as, you know, defensively, offensively, he's one of the best players in baseball, on top of the fact that he's so charismatic. I mean, he's got that extra thing. You know, he's got that it factor. Like, Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball, right? We all agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's awesome, but he doesn't have that extra little something. That, you know what I mean? Like, he's got...
You mean that personality flair?
Yeah, the flair.
Yeah,
exactly right.
I think that's
flair.
True. Yep.
And that's exactly what Francisco Lindor has. And I couldn't even imagine. Like, the more I thought about it, and we were all in agreement that this deal would get done, there was no way that Francisco Lindor could turn down that money in New York. And I don't know how it would have worked out for him. Like, the amount of pressure, like, how the fan base would have reacted to him not signing that deal.
Yeah, I think it would have been a situation where both sides lose, right? If Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson don't get the deal done, the fans are looking at them sideways because it's same old Mets. Typical, you make a trade, you send assets to another organization to bring a player over for a year, and you don't end up signing them. Like, that would be typical Mets. And then Francisco Lindor, if he comes over and he turns down $325 million over 10 years in this climate, with people dealing with the fallout from the economy based on what's going on with the pandemic, like, that would have been... That would have been a scenario where everybody is playing under this cloud and the Mets fans are looking at both parties and trying to figure out why they still root for the team. But now that they got the deal done, man, it's a win-win. I mean, for Steve Cohen, the extra $60 million, he's no sweat off his back. And then with Francisco Lindor, he gets to have bragging rights. He gets to eclipse what Fernando Tatis got. And he can put the contract issue to bed and focus on what he does best, which is play baseball and be a leader in that clubhouse. So I just feel like it's a win-win for both sides. It made too much sense for both sides not to get a deal done.
Yeah, you can't trade for a guy like that and not sign him to a long-term deal. I mean, it felt cut and dry. And in the end, I think it probably was, right? I mean, there was some anxiety and angst in the 11th hour. But at the end of the day, I don't think it was a real question. I never had the feeling that he wasn't going to be here. And I feel the same way with Conforto. And I feel the same way with DeGrom. With Syndergaard. If the Mets choose that they want to keep these guys. You know, if Sandy says it's not worth keeping Syndergaard, then maybe they don't. But if they want to keep these guys, I have no doubt that they have the money to do it and they will get it done. So I really don't worry about this financially anymore with this organization.
No, I don't think you should. And I do like the fact that he's just not going to go out and spend money for the sake of spending money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, the fact that he said, you know, we're going to hold firm on the 10 years. And with Springer, he didn't want to go that extra year. I think what made this different was we didn't really have. Like, he was our big acquisition this offseason.
Yes.
So if all of a sudden he goes into the season without a deal done, I mean, I don't know how great that would look for Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson.
It'd be awful, Rico.
But again, but they were smart because for them to leak out the 10 for 325 was a smart move by them because it put the pressure back on Lindor's camp.
Yeah, and Lindor finally had to come up off of what he was asking for contractually. But going back to what you just said, Rico, like there was no doubt that they had to get this deal done because, again, this was their big free agent acquisition, even though it came via trade. Like, think about it. You passed up on a lot of other opportunities to make sure that you got this guy, and to miss out on Trevor Bauer, to miss out on Real Muto, to miss out on Springer because you didn't want to go the extra year, and to bring over Francisco Lindor and commit to that, if you didn't get this deal done, that just makes it look even uglier. Like, this was something that they had to get done. And so the fact that on the eve of the season kicking off, you got pen to paper, now both sides can move forward feeling good about the decision to have this marriage. So I just feel like this was one of those things that made too much sense for both sides to pass up on, and they met each other, they found some common ground, and got a deal done.
And the Mets fan is very excited, and they should be. Let's go to Doug, Long Island. Dougie, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm ecstatic. This is an amazing, great day to be a Mets fan. We are officially a big market team again. I'm ecstatic. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, Doug, I think we agree as Mets fans. I mean, I did not think that going into this season with how important Francisco Lindor is going to be for the Mets to get where they want, that if he turned down the 325 and they didn't get a deal done, I don't know how that would have been for him. It's hard enough. I mean, in all honesty, like, he's been playing in Cleveland and he's been great in Cleveland. New York's a whole different animal.
Oh, God. Yep.
So, I mean, if you sign, there's going to be tons of pressure because you're making, you know, $34 million a year. You just signed for $341. There's going to be pressure regardless. But if you had turned down the 325 and didn't get a deal done, could you imagine the amount of pressure that Francisco Lindor would have been under?
In my estimation, would have happened. If he turned it down and he was bad, it would have been really ugly. Like, Mets fans would have gone crazy. If he turned it down and he was great, I think the pressure would have switched to Mets ownership and brass, and it would have been like, you know what, get this deal done. This guy is sensational.
Yeah, but at that point, who cares? If he turns this thing down, right, in New York, and we've seen plenty of guys come to New York and struggle because of the pressure, if he turns this down, and then all of a sudden has an unbelievable season, at that point, if you're Steve Cohen and you're Sandy Alderson, like, we could pay this guy whatever he wants at this point.
That's right.
But that's the beauty in Steve Cohen's negotiation tactic, right? I mean, because he can get the free agency. It's not like Steve Cohen is going to be outbid by another owner. If Steve Cohen wants to get Francisco Lindor under contract, even if this whole year had passed, he would still be able to do it. So I just think that this was one of those things Steve Cohen said, this is the deal that we want to offer you now. Take it or leave it. And Francisco Lindor realized, I got to take it with all the uncertainty after this season. This is too good to pass up.
It's a phenomenal deal, and I think both sides feel pretty good this morning.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.